Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life. Share your prayer requests or pray for others. Read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
I've titled my message this morning, Look Up. Who liked that song? It's a great song and great lyrics, great writer. It's an awesome song. Look up, child. As you know, we were on holidays for a couple of weeks up on the Sunshine Coast, and I love to surf, and we were in a beautiful place called Noosa, and I was in the water surfing. The surf was pumping, and I had a moment where I absolutely needed to look up. And most of you think of surfing, and you think of people on surfboards about 6 foot long. My choice is I surf longboards. The board of choice for me is 9 foot 6. It's made out of Volan glass, so it weighs almost 15 kilo, and it's kind of like the old school style of surfing that maybe you could imagine. And I was in the water, and I just caught a wave, come off that wave, and one of the local guys, who's also a longboarder, he was on his board of choice, which was 10 foot 1. And if you don't know measurement, that's big, okay? Just, that's big. And I'd just come off a wave and, ever so graciously not. And I was bobbing around in the water with only my head sticking out of the water. And a guy I've been getting to know in Noosa, a local guy, his name's Craig, was on the wave behind me. And the cool kids in Noosa do this thing that drives me crazy, but they surf without a leash. Now, whether or not you know anything about surfing, a leash is this thing that goes around your ankle and attaches you to the board. So when you come off, technically the board only goes about the length of the board away from you. Craig's a cool kid and doesn't wear a leash. I'm in the water, only my head above the water, and Craig's come off the wave behind me. And his board is totally out of control. 10 foot 1 of board, probably weighing, 15, 16 kilograms, and it's coming straight at me. I'm in the water, and this big board is not coming at me end for end. It's coming at me sideways. And you can imagine, I'm in the water, and I look a bit like this. And I'm in the water, and this board's coming straight at me, and in this split moment, I just felt the need to look up. Can I tell you, I'm so glad I looked up, because this thing's coming straight at me and I'm like, what do I do? I had one option, cop a smack in the head or sink to the bottom. And in that moment when I had to look up, I made an instant decision, didn't even know my mental capacity was able to do this, but made a decision just to sink to the bottom. Whilst I was under the water, I'm thinking that's not good because that board was coming at me and now that board's heading straight for my board, and when fiberglass collides, nothing good happens. I'm thinking, what's going to happen? I come up to the surface and Craig's board had disappeared and it was washed up on the rocks, and no to him for not wearing a leash, but it was up on the rocks. And he swims away. He goes, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. He goes, how's your board? And I could see a little compression ding, and that's okay, that happens. And it's like, that's fine, mate, it's all good. Anyway, 2 days later, walking down the street, Craig owns the local rent-a-surfboard company. I'm walking down the street with my family in a place where I don't really know too many, but this voice comes running up behind me and grabs me by the shoulders. That's random, but anyway, here we go. I start talking to Craig and he's a bit worried about what my board looked like. And I said, mate, it's fine, it's fine. He said, I'll buy you a new one or whatever. I'm thinking, this could be good. Actually, it's trash. No, I'm a Christian. It's okay, the board's good. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, you know, I got out of the surf after that wave and there's a car park right near First Point. And he goes, all the local guys were there, and they were. He said, and they absolutely took the mickey out of me for what I did. And I just sort of looked at him. I thought, that's good. That's good. Then I thought to ask the question, how's your surfboard? He goes, yeah, not so good. And I went home and had a look at my board, and on a 9'6" board, there's about 11 inches of fin hanging out the bottom of it. And it's like a big axe, essentially. His board evidently hit my fin, because my fin is red, his board is white, and I had a beautiful big white GT stripe up my fin. And he tells me there was probably, at mates' rates, about $200 to $300 damage to his board. Why am I telling you all of this? Honestly, I just love surfing. I'm telling you this because in a moment, I had a decision to either look up or just get taken out. And in a moment, I made a decision to look up. And can I tell you, in that moment of looking up, that allowed me to avoid some things that perhaps, without looking up unnecessarily, I could have had some interesting looking gashes on my face. This morning, I want to have a look at this concept of look up. What is it to look up? We're going to have a look at a key text together. If you have your Bible, pull it out, pull your phone out, do whatever you need to do to get your word out. But we're going to have a look at a key text, and it's Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2. Are you with me this morning? Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2. Once you have it, we'll read it. It's up on the screen if you need it. It says this, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This morning, I want to give you 3 points on this principle of look up. Point number one, if you're taking notes today, is this: shift your focus. I believe as Christians, we need to shift our focus. Verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Who's ever discovered that without a doubt, life has this incredible ability to take us through some valleys. Life has this incredible ability to take us through some valleys. Times when mountaintops seem a million miles away. And it's like I'm stuck in the thick of something I really don't like, but I know that God said, you know, it's all good and everything happens, you know, for the good of those who love Him and everything's okay, but right now I'm stuck in the valley. Who's ever been in a valley before? Moments when our surrounds begin to overwhelm us, wearing us down, causing us to feel a little helpless and a little defeated. I reckon we could all put our hand up this morning and say, you know what, maybe I'm not now, maybe you are, but I know what it is to walk through a valley, and it's hard work. You may have heard a quote before, and before I share it with you, I want to speak to the worriers here this morning. Those of us that tend to unnecessarily worry about stuff. There's a quote that says this: your strength can become your weakness. Who's ever heard that before? Don't let your strength become your weakness. What does that really mean? Well, let me explain a little bit this morning as we think about looking up and shifting our focus. Let me ask you a question, no need to answer this, but have you ever been so worried? Have you ever had so much going on in life? Have you ever been so snowed under that you've gone to bed at night and nothing you try will stop you from thinking? And you just can't switch it off. It just keeps going and going and going. You lay there and you worry and you worry and you worry and you go, I don't know how this is going to work out. I can't see any good in this. I don't understand why this would happen. I don't see how God could possibly do anything, but God's big, I know that. But this is bigger, but God's bigger, but... And you just lay there and you think and you worry and you worry and you worry. Don't let your strength become your weakness. So the question is, have you ever been so worried that you couldn't sleep? Let me break this down this morning simply. Here's the kicker. See, your strength is you're a thinker. That's your strength. You're actually a really good thinker. You process stuff. You stop. You weigh up the options. You try and work it out. And you try and think it through and try and work out what's going to happen. And can I say, for the bulk of your life, that's put you in really good stead because you're a good thinker. Are you with me this morning? But here's the weakness. You have a tendency to overthink. Am I talking to anyone this morning? Your strength is you're a thinker, but you have a tendency, on the flip side of all of that, to overthink. And when you overthink, you begin to worry. Can I give you a solution this morning? And I don't want to dismiss or belittle anything you're going through, faced with, have walked through, will go through, etc. But can I give you a solution this morning? And the solution is quite simply this. If you're a worrier, if you're a person who tends to overthink, can I tell you this morning, there's a great key for you in life, and it's quite this. Shift your focus. Shift your focus. What do I mean? Shift your focus and look up. Look up. Luke chapter 12, verse 25 to 26 says this. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Do you like that? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? You see, God always wants the best for you. Amen? Anyone at all believe God wants the best for them? God's not an evil God. He's not up there playing with an Xbox controller going, how can I make these pesky little humans' life miserable? God's on our side. He wants the best for us. So why would we worry? Why would we spend night after night not sleeping, worried? Can I encourage you today, if you're a worrier, look up, shift your focus. Is that okay? My second point is this. Ask the question. Ask the question. The second part of verse 1 says this. Where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? You know, some of us ask for help easier than others. Have you ever recognized that? I don't know about you, but I've had people navigate through my world who perhaps ask for help way too often. I'm not going to put names out there this morning, but I like to put them in the needy category. You know what I'm saying? It's like, can you help me do this? I'm like, yeah, I could. But if you'd get off your... and maybe do it yourself, which you're quite capable of doing. Oh, gee, I'm getting some looks this morning. Am I the only human here or what? Some people are just needy. They ask for help way too much. And please don't go away this morning and go, that's not the help church. Don't ever ask for help at that church. It's not my point. Work with me this morning. Then there's those of us, and I say us on purpose because if there's a category I fall into, it's perhaps this one. There's those of us who just don't ask for help at all. We just don't ask for help. We don't find it easy to ask for help. And there's some reasons to this. But I believe that there are pivotal moments in life where I don't mind what your background is, what your skill set is, how good you think you are or you think you're not. There are moments in life where we have to ask for help. As I said, I fit into this category. Don't find it easy to ask for help. Let me perhaps break this one down like I did for the worriers. See, if you have this tendency, can I say that you're not necessarily a worrier, but your strength is you're a doer. You're a doer. What do I mean by that? You love getting things done. You love that sense of confession. You ready for it? I'm one of those guys who mows his lawns and at the end stands there and looks at it and goes, that's a nice job. That's a nice job. See, you're a doer. You like doing things. You like completing things. You like that feeling of, oh, you know what? I actually can. I actually did. And you're a doer. And you do. And you keep doing. And you'll always do. Because that's what doers do. See, your strength is you're a doer, but here's the weakness. You overcommit yourself. And can I go so far to say that when you overcommit yourself, you end up running the risk of burning yourself out? Why? Because your strength can become your weakness. You have a problem with asking the question, are you with me today? Can I say to all the doers in the house this morning, don't be self-reliant. Don't be self-reliant. Be God-reliant. See, God longs to give you what you need. God longs to give each and every one of us exactly what we need if we would what? Just ask the question. Just ask the question. I don't know how many times, church, I've tried to do things and work it out for myself, much to my own detriment, and I get to the end of the road exhausted and go, yeah, you know what, maybe a little bit like Anna this morning, but you know what, actually God's just standing there going, come on, just ask. Would you just ask? Stop trying to do it all yourself, just ask the question. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8. Reads this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Is this helpful for anyone at all this morning? I love this quote. We lost a great when we lost Billy Graham. One of his quotes is this, he once said that heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. How good's that? Let me read that to you again. If you're taking notes, try and jot it down. Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. Isn't that scary? James 4, verse 2 says this, you do not have, why? Because you do not ask. See, God always, always wants the best for you. So if God wants the best for you, why would you not stop and ask the question? Are you with me today? Point number 3. We're on a roll. Look up. Look up. Here we go. Point number 3 is this. Answer the question. Answer the question. Verse 2 of Psalm 121 says this, my help comes from the Lord. Doesn't say my help is my strength because I'm a doer. Doesn't say my help is my strength because I'm a thinker and I process stuff and I figure it all out. No, it says my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, sometimes in life there are moments where we have to ask tough questions. Who likes tough questions? Sometimes we have to ask the tough questions. And I believe there are pivotal moments in life when we have to answer questions like this. Is Jesus Mr. Nice Guy? You know, that guy that did cool tricks? Everyone loved him, you know, like, how good was Jesus? Who else turns up to a party and turns water into wine? I mean, that will win you some friends. Is Jesus Mr. Nice Guy, or is Jesus the answer? And there's moments when we have to answer that question. Is Jesus my 7-Eleven? What do I mean by that? Is Jesus the convenience store in your life? The guy you run to when you're short on something and just need a quick top up? Is Jesus your 7-Eleven, or is Jesus your Lord? Is he your everything? Matthew chapter 16 reads this, verse 13 to 15. Let me just read verse 13 and 14 to you. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Great answers. Impressive, educated answers. Well thought out, well measured, correct, not wrong, good answers. But it's not enough. Jesus goes on, check it out in verse 15. Jesus goes on and says these words, but what about you? Make it personal. Forget about the rest. This is about God. This is about Jesus and you. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? I wasn't here last week, but this place must have been crazy. People guessing for jelly beans, and I miss all the good services. And cracking message. I had to listen on the podcast. But to quote Pastor Peter, he put it this way. Is Jesus songs, or is Jesus jelly beans? What's it going to be? Answer the question. Is Jesus Mr. Nice Guy, or is Jesus the answer? Is Jesus subjective? Is he absolute in your life? Answer the question. See, God always wants... I'm a broken record this morning, but God always wants the best for you. Amen. So can I encourage you today, determine your answer to the question. Look up and answer the question. I'm going to invite the team back this morning. You know, in closing today, maybe, just maybe, today you are like, you know what? That's me. There's some questions I need to ask. There's some questions I need to answer. Perhaps you're feeling stuck in the middle of a valley, feeling lost, doing life with no sense of direction, purpose. Perhaps you've done life trying to figure it out for yourself because you're a doer. Perhaps you've done life having a man's look. Who knows what a man's look is? You've tried to have a quick look here and a quick look there, but just can't find what you're looking for. All the men are going, yeah, I know what a man's look is. I get told every time I can't find something. You know, on the faith journey, I reckon sometimes we have a man's look. A quick look here, a quick look there, but never finding that thing that you're actually looking for. You know, while the whole time all you needed to do was look up. Look up. You know, and in that very moment, enabling you to do three things. Number one, shift your focus. Number two, ask the question. And number three, answer the question. Can I say today that if that's you, if you're sitting there going, man, that is so me. And this is not necessarily about salvation. Maybe you're in a season where it's just like, man, I don't know, I'm a warrior and I have no idea how this is going to play out. Can I tell you this morning, look up. Maybe you're a doer. And maybe you've tried everything possible to work through the valleys of life, but you just cannot figure it out. You cannot find a way. You've tried, you have absolutely exhausted yourself. Can I tell you this morning, stop. Come on, church, stop and look up. Because we got a Father in heaven who just wants the best for us. We have a Dad in heaven just going, if you just stop and ask the question. If that's you today, can I say, no matter if you're new to the faith or been in church here at Life forever, can I tell you that when you woke up this morning and you decided to come to church, you made the best possible decision you possibly could for today. When you woke up and thought, I'm going to Life today, can I tell you what? Do you know something? God cheered when you made that decision. Why do I say that? Because it's right here this morning that you have opportunities to stop and look up, opportunity to ask questions, opportunity to answer some questions. And if that is you today saying, yeah, that's me. I need to know more about this Jesus guy. I have some big questions that I need to ask. Some big questions. But I have an even bigger question that I need to answer. Can I tell you today, you're in the perfect place. Because right here this morning, right here at Life Church, right here at Life Christian Church, right here in this room this morning, there's a great opportunity for you to do exactly that. And this morning we've already highlighted it, but in your newsletter there's a connect card. And on that connect card there's opportunities for you to commit your life to Jesus. There's opportunities for you to check a box and say, I want to find out more. There's opportunity for you to say, I want to talk to a leader. This morning there's opportunity when we wrap up. We'll have our prayer team over to this side. There's opportunity right here at Life for you to connect and have prayer ministry. This morning as we gather around morning tea, there's opportunity for you to seek out a leader, a friend, the person who brought you to church and say, hey, I need to have a conversation. And if you came on your own and you know no one, you know nobody this morning, can I say to you this morning, come on over to our welcome desk. Have a chat to us. We'd love to connect with you and help point you to Jesus. Help you to ask a question, but more importantly, help you to answer a question. Are you with me today? So this morning, this is what we're going to do in closing. I'd love to lead you all in a prayer. I don't want to single anyone out. I don't want you to feel like, oh, really, me? I would love for us to all stand to our feet this morning. And I'd love to lead you in a prayer. Would you stand? A prayer that's relevant for every person in this building today. A prayer that no matter whether you're a new Christian, no matter whether you've been following Jesus all your life, a prayer that is relevant for each and every one of us. So would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Respect the privacy around of those around you this morning. And we're going to pray this out loud together. Let me lead you this morning. Dear Jesus, come on, church. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you sent Jesus to pay a price I could never pay. Help me to trust you, to ask you for help, to run toward you, to look up, so I can be all you have called me to be. Thank you, Jesus, that in you I find my best life. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.